Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to number 566. 566. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. One of Fanny Crosby's great hymns. Sing it out, this great hymn of praise, 566, on the first verse.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Singing now over to 264, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, the solid rock. On the first verse together,
my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
In a moment, but we want to give you a chance to shake hands with those around you while the instruments play through that. Saying
when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in
on that rock this morning. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And the Slavin's family is going to sing for us now at this time.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
It's time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon and the Spirit is our shield. It's time the church needs more of its members to be workers in the field.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
There is victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There's been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so that I can rest with Him forever, live eternally.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Thank you, Slavin's family. We have our ushers coming down to welcome everybody today. It's good to have every one of you. If it's your first time with us, we'd love to get a record of your visit. They have a card and a pen we'd love for you to fill out. If you'd slip your hand up, they'll give you one. Fill that out for us, drop it in the offering plate, and give us a record of your visit. Thank you for coming. Thank you for everybody that's not a visitor for being here. I know how it is sometimes. It's hard to get up, get going, and get out of the house. And I'm thankful you made the choice to be in God's house today. So thank you so much for being here. It is good to have another special guest with us. I saw a man with a mustache, Mr. Peach. I don't want to rush you. Would you come up here and pray for us here? I'm going to give the prayer request and everything, so I don't want to rush you, but it is good to see Brother Peach back with us, and we'll have him pray for us this morning. Amen. One of our men in the military, and we thank God for him, and thank God for our country. Amen. And so he's going to make his way up here. We have a ladies' retreat coming up on September 5th and 6th. The deadline to sign up for that is August 6th. We want you ladies to get signed up. And if you're not sure about how to do that, have questions, Ms. Parsons can help you with that. There's been information in the bulletin. But if nothing else, meet tonight after the evening service. We're going to have just a quick meeting about that over in the fellowship hall with the ladies. Ms. Parsons will be over there to help you with that. And it'll be about either getting registered or getting connected with someone so you can share some of that cost of the room and being a part of it. So come out tonight, be a part of it. If you need to, can't be here tonight, go see Mrs. Parsons after the service. She'll help you with that. Continue to pray for the men that are over in Africa. That's mainly the Morgans and Brother Orr, and they're putting some work in there at Brother over in Brother Marilla's place over there, and he is doing a great job. And like I said, hopefully when they get back, we'll show you some of the video and just some of the work they've done. Don't forget, August 3rd is Promotion Sunday. That's next Sunday, going to promote all our young people up to the next grade. So make sure that your young people are prepared for that. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you need certificates tonight at the, after the evening service, we'll have them up on this front pew. You can pick them up for your classes and able to fill those in with the different names. As we turn our attention to the prayer list this morning, several on the prayer list want you to continue to pray for. Pray for Pastor Carter, wasn't able to come in this morning. Feeling better, but still got some of that in his lungs there where he just needs to get that cleared out. Didn't want to cough through Sunday school, and so I appreciate you praying for him. Thank you for the ones that took food by. Just everyone, but again, be in prayer for him. Then Russ and Angela Wilkie's grandson, Asher, he's still having those tests. Ashley Tomlinson stopped by and wants you to continue to pray for her. She's got some more upcoming tests this week, still having those bad headaches. Let's make it a matter of prayer this this week to pray for her, that God would relieve that pain and that the doctors would be able to find something in these upcoming tests that would be able to help her with what she's going through with these headaches. Then Dan McEwen had a stroke this past week up in Canada, asking the church to pray. I got some details, and I'll give you a little bit more details tonight about that. And then Barbara Auchus has got a knee replacement scheduled for August 1st. I want you to be in prayer for that. Those recovering from surgery, Ellie Walker, Sherry Parsons, Xavier Norfolk, Christina Douay, and Dr. Lee. Continue to pray for these that are having some upcoming tests, but also need our prayer for just things they've been battling. Cindy Bradford, don't forget Dalton Maloney. Pray for specifically for his salvation. He's also dealing with some cancer. Then Norma Strickland, continue to pray for the cancer list. Those on the cancer list, Angela Wilkie, Dan Canals, Wyatt Wooten, and Ballard there. So let's stand together. We're going to be in prayer. I want to mention this before we go to prayer, and many of you may not know this yet, but Ralph Hutchinson, that's Brother Richard's dad, went home to be with the Lord this past week. So pray for the Hutchinson family as well. Brother Peach, it's good to have you come and pray for us, my brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be able to be here in church, Lord, and I pray that you would just be with all these prayer requests that were mentioned, Lord. There's so many different needs and hurts and things that are weighing on our hearts and lives, Lord, right now. Lord, I pray that you would just be with each and every situation, Lord. Be with Pastor Carter and then be with some of the other prayer requests, Lord, that your perfect will and way would be done, Lord, whether with answers needed or healing, Lord. I pray that you would just be with each and every situation, Lord. I pray that you would just now be with the service to follow, Lord. I pray that you would just be with the offering. We pray you bless the gift and the giver. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.
So much. You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now, at this time, One Day.
One day when this brief life is over,
Thank You Choir. One day, won't that be something? Can't wait. Amen. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books again, please, and turn to number 75. Number 75, one of Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirates, famous hymns that he wrote, Rejoice in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan. On the first verse together, again. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. Good singing this morning. You may be seated. Before our message, Brother Allen is going to sing for us now.
What a privilege to come into God's presence. Just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. He holds the power of creation. With His voice He spoke, and all things came to be. Yet He hears each simple prayer I bring before Him as I see Him high and lifted. kneel before Him, all adore Him. As you live to love Him more, bow the knee. As you live to love Him more, bow the knee.
Thank you, Brother Allen. What a blessing. Amen. I'm glad that we can bow the knee to the one that every knee will bow to. Amen. One day. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. It is good to be home and to be here in our church. And said often, but there's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, so this place must be the place. Amen. And so I'm glad you're in the place with me today. And I hope you found your place in Mark chapter 12. I want to give you a little bit of just background on the scripture and just kind of be able to help you understand some things that we are going to dive into today. But I want to give you the title of the message and then begin to explain it today. And hopefully the title of the message is a question. And everyone will answer this question differently. Okay, everybody inside the auditorium would have a different answer to this, but everyone outside the auditorium definitely would have a different answer, and no different in the Bible times. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the elders, all of them, the disciples, believers, followers of Jesus Christ would have a different answer. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? Throughout our lives and for all of us, and I'm just going to be honest to you, I don't think a simple yes will suffice the question. Does Jesus care? What is it about? Do you know most people that ask the question, the person that they want to know if Jesus cares about is the person that's answering the question. Does Jesus care about me? Does Jesus care about my family? Does Jesus care about every man, woman, boy, and child on earth? We don't often try to really pose the question, but throughout the scripture, the whole Bible is bound up in, does Jesus care? Even from the beginning. We don't often think about it, but again, the person who knelt down and created man in His own image, that looked up at the other two parts of God and said, let us make man in our own image, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus cared for us from our beginning, from our creation, from our recreation, if I could say it, or redemption from Calvary. Now, we know that, and we do, but, you know, throughout the scripture, and even here, Mark chapter 12, the question that is posed to Christ, and just so you can understand a little bit of it, He's come to a place and He's not with what they would call the Pharisees or the Herodians. Both of those are different groups of people, but He is with a very religious crowd. He's with the chief priest, the one who should be able to spot the Messiah 100 miles away. One that has taught everyone about the coming Messiah, what He will look like, what He will be like, where He will be born, where He will, again, all of these different things is all the things that the chief priest should know and put into practice. He should know God and the one that He is offering up. If He is going, He should be able to spot the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, because on a yearly basis, He sacrifices a lamb to picture that person. But the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they're all together in this place, and Jesus begins to speak to them, and they're going to use a terminology. I want to read from verse 7 down to 14, but realize that He's come to a place where now Jesus has spoken to them in verses really 1 through it, all the way through here. He's going to talk to them, and they have caught Him. He's at the temple. And in chapter 11, you're finding their conversation. He's with the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and He's there, and He's been healing, He's been preaching, and they come to Him with a question of, by what authority? Do you know what the question to the Christian is today with people that don't really know about how Jesus cares? You know, they don't know that the church is Jesus' church today, folks. He's the head of the body. Should the church care about the world, people on the side of the street, bus kids? How do you care as a church member and a part of the church? Does Jesus care? He cares, and we should care about others. Not just where they'll spend eternity, but what goes on a daily basis in their lives. And folks, I'm just going to try to help you here. These people, they didn't care about anybody but themselves, about their position and their prestige, what they would gain or what they would lose if they invested everything for the cause. And they look at him because they have authority, they have position. They're looking at it from their position, and they say, well, what authority do you do these things? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, if you're not careful in the church, when people care and people give and people go, listen, there has to be order in the church, does it not? But if you're not careful, you're worried, instead of worried about serving, you're worried about what authority you have. What authority do you do these things? You know, most of the time when we're trying to care for others and try to serve God, listen, those questions don't always come up. You know who they come up from? Somebody's doing a whole lot of nothing, just checking on everybody's authority. Oh, you don't like it? Say, preacher, don't get upset with me. By the authority of the Word of God, let me tell you, stop being a busybody and start caring about people and what you're doing. Does Jesus care? Absolutely. And by the way, most of the people I serve with and are sitting in the pew care about more than themselves, but you catch them on the wrong day. And all of us will have a bad day, won't we? And we don't care about anybody but me, myself, and I. Listen, they come to this place and they're at the temple and Jesus is healing, caring, and working for people. And people who are in authority show up and want to know by what authority he's helping people. By what authority are you here? Now, Jesus, he knows what they're doing. They didn't catch him by surprise. He's God in flesh. And he looks at them and he says, I'll answer you if you answer one of my questions. Now, I'm just going to tell you, people that are in authority, when you answer their question with a question, they don't like that. All right? They get upset. Just let a police officer pull you over and they ask you, do you know how fast you were going? Well, do you know how fast you were going to catch me? I'm just saying, you shouldn't say that. If you weren't going to get a ticket, you are now. And we laugh about it, but again, we could go from just the police officer on the street all the way up to a high politician. When they ask a question, they want you to answer. They don't want you to ask another question. But the Lord Jesus had some powerful authority. And listen, they couldn't outthink him, and he begins to talk to them, and he asks them questions that they don't want to answer. They've tried to catch him into things, and by the time they finish up their back and forth and they don't answer his questions and he doesn't answer theirs, his preaching turns to parable. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus begins to lay out for those that should know the Messiah, the Son of God, who is sent to a group of people who are just stewards of fields and a place. Folks, can I submit to you today that we're just stewards of this planet? This planet ain't ours. We don't hold any claim to it. It was created by God, and it should bring him glory. If he wants to burn it up, flood it out, or do whatever he wants to do with it, it's his to have his way with. And we're all worried about trying. Listen, our job is to steward it. By the way, let me just share with you. Listen, the very first man God ever created was a farmer. And was man, he was made to steward a piece of ground and left there. And that was what God, his only responsibility in life was to take care of his garden and his relationship with God and his family. He failed at helping his family keep his relationship. He failed at keeping up with the ground. He ate the thing he wasn't supposed to eat. And failed at his relationship with God. By the way, man is a triune being. And it was a triple failure in the garden. It wasn't just taking one bite that got him kicked out. Most of the time when we really have a fall on our face moment in life, it's when we've neglected our responsibilities. What God made us to do. And if I could submit to you, listen, this isn't all fuzzy and everything today. Before we read the scripture, I just want you to tell you, Jesus looks at them and tells them about their responsibility in a parable. That God had given them the husbandman, the one that created everything. He begins to tell them how he gave them a stewardship over this vineyard. And how he sent servants to check on his investment. Referring to the Old Testament prophets and all the men that had come before that came in and checked on how everything was going. And the people in charge of the vineyard that the husbandman, God, had left in charge, instead of welcoming them and saying, hey, taking home a good report of what they were doing, they were so worried about keeping their authority, they just beat the servant up and sent him back. I'm just going to tell you, listen, when the man of God gets up and preaches and tries to tell you or says, hey, let's get a report card on what's going on in our lives of how does Jesus care and how do we care because Jesus cares for others, we ought not get mad with the preacher. We ought to check it off on the report card and come to the place where we take a good evaluation of ourselves and send it back to the husbandman, God Almighty. And then put it in purpose for ourselves. We get so busy with so many things, and these men were no different. And Jesus gives them this parable, and instead of getting right, they get angry. Realizing the parable was given to them, by the way, finally the husbandman realizes they're never going to take one of his servants and follow him or do what God wants them to do, so he sends his son. Surely, the husbandman says in the parable, if you were to read it at the beginning of the chapter, surely they will receive my son. Surely they will take my son and they will treat him with the honor that they should treat me. Instead, they double down and don't just beat him up. They take the son of the husbandman and kill him. And Jesus, listen, that's where we pick up in chapter 12. Look at verse 7. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and the inheritance shall be ours. Can you imagine the audacity of the chief priest and the elders of that day thinking that, listen, yes, we know the Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world is who every knee will bow to and everyone is going to confess that he is Lord, but we're going to kill him and then we'll take the inheritance. It doesn't work that way. But you know, in our earthly mind and us trying to get one up on somebody else or somehow trying to gain instead of caring for others, that's the way the earthly man, the Pharisee, the Herodian or the politician, we could go through the list, even the religious crowd, rather than caring the way Jesus cares, all we care about is us and ours. Look at what Jesus says, and they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Jesus is speaking about that even today in Israel on a regular basis when they get excited about spiritual things and rebuilding their temple. They've got a cornerstone that they've cut out that they think is the cornerstone, but can I submit to you today that the cornerstone of what we believe is not some piece of stone, but it is the person of Jesus Christ, the solid rock on which I stand, the one whom I believe in, the rock that was hewn out without hands, that's going to destroy all the images of all the world and every world power. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing of all my life is to realize this morning that he doesn't just care in some simple way, but that Jesus cares about everything that happens happens in my life. He cared enough to die on Calvary and to rise again to pay my sin debt that I might be on my way to heaven and not have to go to hell. He cares on a daily basis about where I live and if I have a roof over my head, whether I have shoes on my feet, whether I have food on my plate, whether I have love in my heart for people. If he cares about where I go and where I am, which state I reside in and what home I reside in, what family is to me and how my children, where they will spend eternity. Does Jesus care? How in the world could we ever, as God's people, believers in Jesus Christ, ever think that he does not care? He's full of care. And often as Christians, can I submit to you today? And this is all an introduction, by the way. I just want you to get this. We often, instead of being a believer in Jesus Christ and that he cares, and thus we have care, we are careless with our lives. We're careless with our time. We're careless with our money. We're careless with, just the investment of ourselves, our minutes and time on earth. We cast it away and we squander it on a daily basis on things that will please us. That doesn't help our family, doesn't help the cause of Christ. And you cannot be careful and be careless at the same time. You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? I'm just telling you, I don't want to live my life as a religious person who only cares about my own gain. I do not want to be a Pharisee, one who has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. I don't want to be the chief priest, somebody who everybody points at and say, look, I want to dress just like him. I want to walk just like him. I want to be just like the chief priest, but be careless on the inside. Can you imagine a chief priest who thinks that he's all that? He'd look a lot like the Pope. Full-on suit and pointy hat. Take over an office. And again, authority and position and all the things, but what then when they get in that office, what are they worried about keeping? The office. They care about everybody that's below them, or they care about the religion, keeping the thing up. He goes on and he says here in the scripture, look at what he says. He's talking about, listen, there's some bad days coming for the ones that put his son to death. And they took him and killed him, cast him out in verse 8, verse 9. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture, the stone which the builders rejected? We said that, listen, Jesus is the corner of the stone. He is the cornerstone. Verse 11, this is the Lord's thing. Look at that. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Do you know when you come to the place where you care about the things you're doing, instead of you saying, look what I did. Look what I built. Look what we accomplished. All of a sudden, that heart of care, realizing that Jesus is the chief cornerstone and that every good thing that comes is done from him, flowing out of him. Sometimes it flows through you and me. And come to the place where what's a blessing is, then we say, this is the Lord's doing. Lord did this. Thank God he let us be a part of it, but this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus used and said those words and then said, and they sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people. For they knew, look at that, they knew that what he had spoken in a parable, he said, so they knew the parable was against them. They knew that exactly what he had said was against them. So they understood it. Instead of getting right, they got mad. And they left him and went their way. There are a bunch of people in the world today that realize that the preaching of the gospel and getting right or being religious, that it's against them, but they don't want to leave their position. They just want to get mad and end people who preach opposite of what they preach. It's a sad thing. He goes on and says, and they send unto him. So they leave this situation later, and they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. They couldn't catch him in his words, so now we're going to get some lawyers, doctors of the law. Some are political, some are very religious, and they're going to try to catch him in his words. Look at what he says in verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master. I don't know if you've got that underlined in your Bible, but that is the exact same term the disciples are going to use for Jesus. But that word is used in two different ways. Do you know there are religious people in this world that would call Jesus Lord, Lord? But one day he will look at them and say, Depart from me. I never knew you. There are people that have called him Master that have never called him Savior. Because they had no right to. See, Master here, they even though he's never been to college, they acknowledge his knowledge of the law. This master is not about the one I follow, but like a master's degree. Today you'd say, hey, doctor. He's achieved a certain amount of learning, and they're trying to catch him in what he knows. Do you know sometimes we forget this, that we'll call, there's people in this life and people in this world that use the same terminology, but it don't mean the same thing. They don't worship God like we worship him. They don't love him the way, and you can notice it by the fruit of their life. They don't care. The only care they have is about what's going to happen. Listen, we had that camp out there. You know what we try to get teenagers to do? Care. Care about themselves enough to give themselves to the Lord, because they've been pruned just like you and I from a TV, the educational system, by everything around us, and told that we are the most important thing. Trained humanistically to put ourselves first and to push everybody else off the ladder. To put ourselves first in our thinking and what we want and where we're going and what we will decide to do. Most teenagers in the world today, and don't kid yourself, most generations have lived this way, they are trying to find something to get the most money and do the least work. Instead of finding something that they were made for, something that will fulfill not just their pockets and their bank account, but deep in their soul, they realize that God made them to do this. That God created them to be in this place, in this time period, for a purpose, and live a life of care instead of carelessness. He comes to this place, and these guys are trying to catch him. So they can't catch him. And in verse 14, and they were come, and they said unto him, Master. They didn't follow him. He wasn't somebody they held in great regard, other than they accepted that he was on their level of education. And now their game begins, or their test begins. Can I ask you today, are you playing games with God? You just playing games with him? Just here so you can answer questions, or you can gain more knowledge about the things of God, so you can trip somebody else up, or you got more ammunition for somebody at work, or somebody that's really going to test you and find out whether you care or not. He says, Master, we know that thou art true. All right, check that box. They believe that he is true. And carest for no man. Is that true or false? It sounds a lot like stuff going on in the garden. All right, I mean, like, you know, the serpent coming up there. You know, I know he was going to, he said that you can't eat it, but she said, what'd she add? You can't touch it. How are you going to come? There's Jesus. He's just been in the temple healing and teaching and preaching. And now you're going to say, we know you're true, but you don't care about any man. Now, what they mean by that is that means that they don't care. You don't care about what people think. You don't care about any man. What they're saying is you don't care about people's position. You'll preach the same to the chief priest or the president. It don't matter anybody's position. You preach to every man like they're just a man. Can I tell you, we you know what we've gotten into this day and age we live in? Instead of, we fear men more than we fear God. And here he says, we realize they say something true about Jesus, but what they mean is they're trying to catch him in something. Say, you don't care about men, for thou regardest not the person of men. Jesus cared about everyone's person, about their physical state, but not their position. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's time that we got back to caring about people and their physical person, maybe their situation that they're in, spiritually and physically, and stop worrying about their position. Most of the time, if you're not careful, we'll go out in the highways and the hedges and try to find someone that can help us rather than find somebody that needs Jesus and needs help. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? I'm getting after it because this is exactly what they're dealing with. They say this about Jesus, but teaching, look, thou teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, we know that Jesus goes through this. He says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and render unto God that which is God's. If you wanted a good statement from the world, listen, I'm going to tell you, I encourage you to pay your taxes. I encourage you to keep the speed limit. I encourage you to do all the things that are lawful and is inside of Caesar's purview. But I would encourage you, as much as you respect the laws of this world, respect the laws of nature and nature's God. Respect God Almighty and realize that He is reverential and that we ought to fear Him, not with a scared, oh, I'm so scared. But listen, Jesus even said, don't fear men that can only kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the soul. For every one of us in the building today to recognize who God is and to realize that He cares so much He gave Himself so that you did not have to die. He realized that men have rebelled against Him and have come to a place where they, if I can say it this way, will destroy themselves and destroy the world. They're going to bring down all the vengeance of a holy God onto this place, and they don't care. Many of them think that they're going to go to hell and party. Good luck with that. And even if hell was a good party place, one day hell will be pulled out and thrown into a lake of fire. So if hell is not hot enough for you and you can party there, one day hell is going to get a whole nother notch hotter. And you'll be cast into outer darkness. So you will be cast into a place, God, at least hell is a place where God can still hear prayers from the rich man. Hell is still a place where God knows what is going on in that place. One day God is going to say, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And He's going to take it and cast it to a place that He does not allow His presence to be. And so all your cries will fall on emptiness. You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? I'm just telling you, because sometimes our cares are so wrapped up in things that are not going to last for eternity. Our cares are all wrapped up about things that are going to happen just today. And listen, He knows what we have cares for. This is the Pharisees. This is a group of people who have religion, but they don't apply it. Their care, they think that we don't regard men's persons, and that's who Jesus is. And they spend their whole life trying to get position, power, climb one notch higher, have people over that can help you, but not other people that need to come over and have dinner. Do you know how it is? The ones that don't have houses, don't have cars. I mean, I'm thankful for our church and how you care. You don't know the young people that are on the bus route, but you give anyway so that they can go to camp because you want them to be helped. Listen, this is a whole other group. Mark chapter 4, turn with me. This group says, does Jesus care? You don't regard persons. You don't like that. They try to trip Him up, and He says, listen, you render under Caesar what's Caesar's, and render under God unto God. You say, well, that's not profound, isn't it? Because all those people that were trying to trip Him were rendering everything to Caesar. They were under oppression. They were even curbing their religion to appease the Romans in the day. If they had fulfilled the law, there were people they would have taken and killed, but they were scared. They turned over the capital punishment over to the Romans. You know that if the Jews had stoned Jesus, he would not have gone to a cross. The only people that were putting people on cross were the Romans. Jesus knew that. God knew that before the foundation of the world. And listen, they were rendering unto Caesar what was not Caesar's to give, according to the law. They weren't following their own things. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is with them, and they've been people who care. They've fed, they've taught, they've preached, they're helping people, making sure that they have the disease is healed, that people are fed while they're getting preached to, and all these different things are going on. In Mark chapter 4, he tells the group of men that are serving with him to get on a boat. Most of the people that are under my voice today that are inside this building are people who are in the boat. You're in the boat, you're close to Jesus, and you're going along and paddling and going the direction that you believe that God wants you to go, because he said, let's go over to the other side. In verse 37, I want you to pick up the reading with me, and he says, and there arose a great storm of wind. There's not just one boat. Jesus has got enough followers. There's many little boats, but the core 12 are in the boat with him. And there arose a great storm of wind. Does anybody remember what the core 12, their actual life's work was before they became fishers of men? They were fishermen. They have seen a couple storms on the water before. It had gotten bumpy with the boat before, but a great storm. I think sometimes we miss little words that are in the Bible. This wasn't just an average storm. It was a great storm. The great storm of wind comes up, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master. See, it's the same term, but it means something different. And they don't ask about, do you care about Caesar? They're not trying to trip him up. They know who he is. He is not just the master of the law, but he is the master of their life. He's the master of their salvation. He's the master of everything. They've surrendered it all to him. I got in this ship because you told me to. And they look at him and say, carest, master, carest thou not that we perish? Can I submit to you this morning that Jesus cares? In this passage of scripture, while Jesus is wrapped in mortal flesh, he was wearied to the place that he fell asleep. But I would say to you, he still cared. He doesn't sleep or slumber today. He is not in an earthly body. He's in a glorified one. He come to the place here and they said, carest thou not that we perish? I want you to see what happened when they finally decided to call on the master. He arose. He rebuked the storm, the wind, and the sea. Peace be still is what he said to it. Isn't it crazy when rebuking the things, he uses the word peace? Do you know who the Prince of Peace is? Do you know the one that will bring peace to the world? To a starving, war-torn, devilish world? It will be Jesus who will stand up and say, peace be still. It'll be Jesus who comes and wins the wars and sets down peace. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and it comes to this place. And these guys who were following him, who believed in him, believed everything, he turns around to them. Could you put yourself in the boat today? You're saved today. You're on your way to heaven. Know Jesus as your Savior. Put yourself in the ship and see Jesus turn around. Sleepy, he just was woken up from a good sleep. If you can sleep while the boat is full, you're in a good sleep. And he turns around and looks at them and says, what? Look at it. Why are you so fearful? Can I look at the church today and say, why are you so fearful? Who's the master? Whose boat are you in? What is your future? Do you know where you're headed? If the master says we're going to go from here to there, are we making it to the other side? Absolutely. You can bet your boat on it. You know where you're headed? Absolutely. I will cross to the other shore. Everything in between is just day by day serving him. Why are we so fearful? Why are we so fearful about the markets and the wars and the things that are going on and everything that happens every day? We gets us shooken up. Well, it happened just like this. We're no better than the apostles and these people that were in the boat. But what happens is we get our eyes off of how much Jesus cares. Instead of saying, Lord, I need help in this area, we often are so fearful because what we question is not the storm or the pressures or the problems of this world. We want to know whether Jesus still cares. Can I just tell you to stop questioning Jesus's purpose in this life? Can I tell you to stop questioning God about whether he actually cares? You got a book that shows that Jesus cares. There's a cross that stands that Jesus cares. There's a God in heaven who sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary and purchase you back into himself. He not only cares about your eternity, but he left you here so that you could fulfill your purpose because he cares. Hey, you say, preacher, why you get that? Hey, look, he says, and how is it that you have no faith? Now, everything that God has done, not just in the church and in the lives of others, but the things you know that he changed in your world, the things that he turned around, the things that he changed and he fixed when you called upon his name, how is it this morning that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith to go forward or to trust him for one more step or for one more day or for one more trial? Does Jesus care? Yes, Jesus cares. These disciples were just like us. Jesus goes back to the back of the boat. He doesn't bail water. He's just like frustrated, like he is probably with us on a daily basis. And he goes back to his place in the back of the boat. And all of the disciples feared exceedingly. Do you know at the beginning of the thing, when they woke Jesus up, guess what they feared? They feared the storm, the wind, the boat was going to sink. They feared all the circumstances. When Jesus went back to lay down, guess who they feared? Jesus. Look at what the scripture says. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Let me ask you this. What manner of man is Jesus that even hell obeys him? That heaven obeys him? Every black hole, this week two black holes collided with each other. You think that happened without Jesus' knowledge? You think that NASA was the only one that knew that that was going on and brought it to our attention? You think that, look, they didn't know what was going to happen. They were speculating all the things. All the universe was going to get sucked into the black hole. You don't think God knew exactly what was going to happen? There were people in NASA that were shaking in their boots, and other people who were watching it with their big, long binoculars and going, oh, man, what's going to happen to all the universe? Jesus cares. It kept on just like it was going to go on. You say, preacher, why preach on this morning? Because this, I really believe that we live in a day and age where we all know that something is going to happen. We all know that something's coming. And if we're not careful, instead of fearing the one who loved us and died for us, not fearing him and hiding from him like you do, my kids would all hide from Chuck E. Cheese when he came out. Why someone built their business on a giant rat has no, I mean, they weren't thinking straight when they did that. Right? I'm talking about, instead of hiding from him, bearing our soul to him, caring about it, caring about the things he cares about and giving ourselves to him. Instead of worrying about the storm and the wind, believing that the man in the back of my boat has got the storm and the wind handled. There is no problem that he can't handle. There's nothing too big that he can't suffer. And if he does take me home to be with him, it's better than here. He wants me to spend eternity with him. It's heaven. Folks, I believe we live in a day and age, instead of living in fear or reverence of our God, we spend every day worried about the things that we ought not worry about, when our cares should be given to him. You say, what do you mean? Like, I care whether I read his word or not. I care whether I pray and fall on my knees and speak to my God on a daily basis. I care whether I spend time with the family he gave me to be responsible for. And instead of getting into everybody else's business in their garden, I'll work in the garden he set me forth in until he comes. Because I care about the things that God cares about. Because he cares about me and my church and my home and my folks and the lost. Say, preacher, does Jesus care? Oh, he cares. He cares so much, He cares about you. He put it in his word. He wants you not to call him master of all the law and of all the world and all the creation, although you should. But he wants you to call him master because you have a personal relationship with him, because you're a follower of the master. Folks, I'm just telling you today, listen, I don't know where you got off of following, but maybe you ought to start following again. Well, I'm a church preacher. Yeah, I know you're at church today, but are you following Jesus Christ? Are you reading his word? Are you doing what he's commanded? Listen, say, what would you do today if you were in my seat, preacher? Well, I am in your seat. I am where you are. I am in this church. All that's bad English to say this. Run to him. Run back to reading your Bible. Run back to praying. Run back to serving him. A lot of times we get out of service because we feel like we need to focus on ourselves, when it was service that fulfilled us. It was service that drew us into the place where we gave up the things of the world and we gave ourselves wholly to the things of God. Folks, you say, well, why are you saying that? Because I believe sometimes we get in the summertime and we get in the summer of vacations and we need a break from all the things that we truly care about. And we wonder whether we're going to get back to it. We wonder back, like, you know, can I just tell you, nobody lives on vacation. Vacation is the illusion that somehow vacation is going to make everything better. You know, I just tell you this story. One of the greatest vacations we ever planned, I needed a vacation from that vacation when we got back. We went every day as hard as we could go. We saw all the sights that we could see. And it did nothing, but I was more tired than when I went to work every day. And what I needed was vacation when I got back from my vacation. Do you know when you live and work and do according to God's word, every day is a day that you can pillow your head and feel like I've done exactly what God asked me to do today. I'm right with a holy God. Not one of fear of what's coming tomorrow, but I can rest and what happened this past day. And if I meet God face to face when I wake up, he and I both will have a smile on our face. You say, preacher, no one can live like that. Everyone can live like that. If you choose to do it on a daily basis. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the beginning of the Christian life and doing and following Jesus Christ comes with being obedient to the gospel. The gospel is simply this, is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. We preached it today. Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life. Nobody took it from him for you and for me. And then in power rose again and took a seat at the right hand of the Father that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're a believer in that today, then reset your care for the things of God today. If you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then today can be the day of salvation. Does Jesus care for you? Absolutely. He cared for you so much, he went to Calvary and stretched his arms out wide and died for you, that you might be able to have life, not spend eternity in hell, not have all the judgment of God fall upon your head and upon your sins, but be forgiven. Born again into the family of God. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, don't leave this building. I beg you. I care for you. The people in this building care for you. Jesus cares for you enough that, listen, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason, a scriptural reason this morning. Would you bow your heads with me today and do business with God, not playing church, not playing like I can't wait till I get to lunch, but really bow your head in your heart and pray and ask God to help you on a daily basis have a care for the things of God and the things that we know we ought to do for him. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he's not your master or Savior yet, but you'd like him to be. Would you do this morning when we get ready to stand and I pray, would you make your way to the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means he'll save anyone who calls upon his name. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. God knows exactly what you've done, and he already paid for it. You just need to receive the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness that you can find in Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning. Be with the Christians, Lord. Help us to get back to in love with you and in care for the things of God and the work of God. God, I pray for those that are here and they don't know they're saved. They don't know where they'll spend eternity. That maybe they know and they know it's hell, Lord. They've never accepted you, but I pray, God, today that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by accepting you, by calling on you, by receiving you this morning. We ask it in the name above every name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? As Brother Burt begins to sing, would you step out and come? I'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian, don't wait to do business with God. Care enough about doing business with him to meet him at the altar this morning.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, Christians are praying. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the invitation this morning is to you. We invite you to step out and make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You say, well, preacher, people are looking at me. No, they all did the same thing that you need to do today. There was a time in their life when they stepped out for Jesus, realizing that he cared, and they wanted to take care of the need of their soul. While heads are bowed and nobody's looking around but me and God, would you step out and come to the front? Receive Jesus as your Savior and know that for sure when you head home today, that Jesus' care led to my salvation. Don't leave without that today. As Brother Burt sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich is he,
good to be back with you today, and I'm so glad you made it. Listen, if you're here and you're visiting with us and you could not bring yourself, you know you need to be saved, but you couldn't make your way to the front, would you just, I'm going to be at the back door. I'd love to take the Bible and show you exactly how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. Please don't leave without that today. I do want you to come back tonight. We'll be here at 7 p.m. Amen. This is the place to be every time the doors are open. So we hope you'll be here with us. Amen. Looking forward to it. Please be in prayer for Pastor Carter. He wants to get that lung cleared out. So be in prayer for him this week and all the prayer lists. Brother Spadano, would you come and close us in prayer today? And hope to see you back tonight.
In kindness and your goodness, Lord, and you really do care for us. We thank you for that. Lord, we do pray for Pastor Carter, that you lift him up, give him strength, Lord, to get back to church. Lord, we thank you so much for this day you've given us. We ask that you bring us back tonight, ready to go again for another session, another hearing of your word being preached again, Lord. Please go with us now and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.